right. Well, here we are. To dream again. To dare again. To feel enjoyment and happiness again. Or for the first time. To realize this is living. Be inspired. To see your life as an exciting journey of discovery. With your host of the Inspire Possibility Show, Mark Sussman.
Hi, everybody. It's Mark Sussnell. You're listening to the Inspire Possibility Show. Every week I have a conversation with individuals that I come in contact with that are considered by myself and other people cutting-edge thought leaders, people who can inspire us, people we can learn from, people who not only can we learn from that hopefully entertain us and we kind of remember their essence, who they are. And, you know, I was thinking about this the other day. It just seems that so many people I know, when you ask them what their biggest challenge is, they say work-life balance. They just get so obsessed. And what's interesting, too, if you're really passionate about something, this is something now, I interviewed actually the president of the University of Maryland, and he was talking about his responsibilities, that he loved his work. And a lot of leaders in big positions love their work. They're passionate about what they do. But because they're passionate about what they do, they don't take a time out. They don't really take time out for their inner life or to do other things that kind of help them grow in other ways. And so I invited Joanne Victoria to be our guest. She's a transformational life coach. She's written several books about, one's called Vision with a Capital. She wrote Create the Business of Your Dreams. She was a CFO of an investment company years ago. She's a real estate broker and owner. And she's been in the corporate world and a high-level executive. And she made a transformation herself to become a transformational life coach. And what she does is she works a lot with IT professionals to help them with work-life balance. And I would consider her an expert in this area of work-life balance. And part of what she says is when you do have more work-life balance, you have more inner peace, more fun. And I'm a big fan of having fun, of making things we do regularly more fun, to laugh more, to smile more. And thank you, Joanne, for joining me.
Well, I appreciate it, Mark Sussnow. Thanks for having me on your show. This sounds like fun.
I think so. Isn't that what we're here to do, to have fun?
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. It's if you don't have a sense of humor and if you don't know how to have fun, what's the point? That's what I've always said. What's the point?
All right. All right. So we had a little glitch, little technical glitch here, and it's interesting that we – you know, we have an IT expert that worked with IT people, and we just had a glitch. And what are we going to do here? What do people do? How do you work with them that are these IT professionals that are always working with putting out fires, putting out glitches, creating a better technology? So what do you tell them, that people that come to you with challenges around work-life balance?
Well, first we have to figure out where they are. Well, first we have to figure out where they are now, because I can't coach them or partner with them unless I know what's going on in their lives. And I usually give them a task of, they get lots of homework. Once somebody has agreed to work with me, they get a task of creating an inventory, usually of a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and a Monday, which would incorporate two work days and two supposedly life days, shall we say, with themselves, with their friends, with their family, with their children, with their partner, whatever it may be. So they keep an inventory of what, not only what they do all during those 4 days, but the mood they're in when they do them. Are they grudgingly going to work? Are they happily playing with their family? Or is it vice versa? Are they happy to go to work and grudging grudgingly being with their family. The mood, I find the mood first is better than the feeling, because the feeling gets mixed up first if you go at it first. We get to that, but mostly mm-hmm. it's the mood. You know, how do they feel about going to work? How do they, you know, not feel, excuse me. How, what is their mood when they go to work? What is their mood when they're with their friends and family? And then we have something to talk about.
So what do you think really determines their mood? I mean, if it's their mood, right, about going to work, what really determines their mood?
Where they feel more comfortable, where they feel more powerful, where they feel more mm-hmm. in alignment with others around them, where they feel more in balance. We're trying to get to, when we say work-life balance, that's kind of a misnomer, because balance implies equality, and there's no such thing as 50-50 in work-life. So my point is to incorporate your work-life into your personal life, not vice versa, which is what most people tend to do. They just take the job or the entrepreneurship, and they do their business, and then whatever is left over of themselves and of the clock is what they give to their own free time, their family, and whatever extraneous relatives or friends or partners that they might have floating around. But they need to know what the important thing is to incorporate their work into their personal life. And then they have to be cognizant of how they are or are not doing that, and in a way that makes them at least satisfied. We'll start with satisfaction before we go to happiness, even though you mm-hmm. and I both know to a certain degree happiness is a choice, but let's go to satisfaction.
Right.
You know, I want the end of the day, put your feet up on the desk, get the cigar out, and you feel satisfied about that day with the things
mm-hmm.
that you might have accomplished. And we look for that. That's part of what we look for. And the way I work with people is in a long-term way, say a 90-day method, a 90-day program, is we work together one-on-one 3 weeks out of the month, and the fourth week they write me a history of what's gone on, how things have changed in their life, what works, what doesn't work, if they want to change their goals from their initial goals when we first signed up. But they get to look at how they are living their lives. And it is customized to them, obviously, because there can't be one size fits all. And we look at how they live their lives and what works and doesn't work in their lives. It's always about that for all of us, what works, what doesn't work.
So what I'm curious about, too, is before you got into this work, you
mm-hmm.
were a high-level executive yourself, and you were
that's
a CFO of an
yeah,
investment company. Yeah. And you were in real estate. And so probably, I mean, in your own life, this was probably very stressful. Is that my
It was. It was so
assuming,
stressful.
Yeah.
One of the stress points when I was working as a CFO of an investment company was that I worked so hard because I had to redefine the office and reestablish the office and hire people and expand everything, because that's essentially what I do when I go in people's lives is I expand things. And I was so sick I had pneumonia because I was also responsible for the there were general partnerships and limited partnerships, and I was responsible for getting all of the tax returns ready for all the members of the partnerships by the end of the year, for the beginning of the year, so that they could file their income taxes. And I worked so hard and so long, and I was raising my children by phone because they were still young at that time, and I was raising them by telephone. They were old enough to more or less be on their own, but not really. So I would have to deal with the phone calls during the day, which you deal with what you got to deal with.
Right.
And that was one of the things. I left that company for other reasons, but I think the bottom line was I just had no freedom left. There were a lot of politics involved and promises made but not delivered, and I just said, screw it, I'm gone. I had no idea what I was going to do next, but I did know that for a period of time I would be with my children and, you know, with myself, healing myself from the pneumonia, and helping my children come to terms with mother being at home more for a period of time. And then I moved on to my next step, which was getting my realtor's license.
Mm-hmm. So then you got your real estate license, and how long were you in that field?
Oh, Lordy, 10 years? I'm trying to think, maybe more than that, because it's a series of events. I was a hard worker, so I was identified as that by a lot of large companies in the Bay Area, including Marin County, and a lot of people wanted me. When I was first looking for a salesperson's position in an office, a local office, they said I didn't have the right things. I didn't have the right stuff. I didn't have the right car, the type of car, and I didn't belong to the right groups. And I told this person, I said, well, don't ever call me again, because you just don't call me again for anything. You will want me because I'm a hard worker. You know, I come from the East Coast. We work hard there. And then, as it happened, within the year, this person came back to me and said, would you manage one of my offices? And I said, no. I said, you do remember that you told me I didn't have the
right car
and the right clubs, and that means I wasn't the right person for you, and now you want me, and that's not going to happen.
Right. So what I'm getting from listening to you is that, and when we come back to this work-life balance, you really have a clear picture of what it's like to be out of balance.
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah,
yes,
and at some point you, I'm just intuiting this, at some point you make a decision to say, I can't do this anymore.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and you make that decision, say, I can't do this anymore. And what happens next? That's what I'm curious about. And what I'm curious about, too, you've written 7 books. Did you write these books after this point or during your career
after.
As a real estate? Huh?
After. Yes. Well, I wrote the books. The first one was, what the heck was the name of the first one? Lighting Your Path, How to Create the Life You Want. Yes. I wrote that one after I started writing articles, because people kept saying, oh, you need to write, you'd probably be a good writer, and I had no awareness of writing. And then I was called by a local newspaper to write a business article every Friday, and the first one, which is an evergreen article, most of mine are evergreen, and it was how to build an office team. Because they asked for that, and within 3 days they had the article and they posted it. And I was on this was voluntary, I wasn't paid. And I had no thoughts of it putting me out there for anything, it was just something that I did. Sometimes I don't question things that much, I just trust my instincts and go forward with that. And then after several months, they said their editor needed to give quote unquote other people a chance. And I said, okay, fine. And I decided I was done with that because I was doing a good job. And again, you know, we've come to the end of that trip. Let's move on. And then I decided to, because the book, Lighting Your Path, How to Create the Life You Want, is about the imbalance in my life. It's stories of 3 people, a composite of many people, the 3 people that I identified in the book were composites of multiple people. One of them was definitely myself, and I had to learn how to, you know, have my own life within the context of raising 3 children on my own. And so that book helped me do that. Just the writing of the book created balance in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had some luck in finding at the time a good book coach from San Diego, and she kept me on the right path, and I learned a lot, and then I kept moving forward, and then I was I removed myself from real estate because it was becoming no longer fun. I was a manager of an office. I had my own business. I had my own real estate company. And then I was working for a builder. I was managing salespeople and new construction in four Bay Area counties. It was busy, but I still had more time to myself than if I was working in the corporate world because I had more control over it. And then I did things that helped me maintain relationships with some of my children as I hired them and their friends to work part-time in the office that I created for the building.
Right. Exactly.
So
good idea.
There's always that way. Yeah, well, you want to give how do you get that first job to get, to get experience and so on and so forth.
Right.
And then I had some people who came over from that land where I was the CFO for a while. They came over too. So I was able to expand the builder's business by employing people that I knew and trusted. You know, I had my own little team there, and they learned things, and I learned things, and I was able to delegate, so I had, again, more time. So there are ways of doing it. But then time moves on, and then I opened my own office after that, my own brokerage. I was a single owner of a brokerage company.
Right. So let me go ahead a little forward because I'm aware of our time constraints. And you start the work. How long have you been doing the work you've been doing now as a transformational life coach?
With different audiences/markets/niches over about 15 years.
Yeah. And what would you say is the biggest lesson you've learned about people since you've been doing this?
They don't put themselves first.
Uh-huh.
They don't consider themselves important enough to allow themselves private time, self-care time for themselves. They don't have as much confidence as they think they have, because with confidence they can make better decisions.
Right. What I've noticed is that, we do similar work, is that I meet somebody, and when they first talk to me about the work I do, I see them and I see people that are powerful and seem really confident, and then you get to know them, and it shocks me how their image of themselves is not the same as me. I mean, they don't have a self-image. That image that I see them, and probably you do, is their self-image of themselves is just lacking. And I think it's just one thing we do is to remind them of how powerful they are.
Yeah, I think what both you and I do is to remind people of a lot of things. And, I've had that brought up to me. Oh, you reminded me of this. You reminded me of that.
Mm-hmm.
They have forgotten themselves in this process of living on planet Earth and doing their jobs and living their lives. They have not put themselves first. And sometimes people think it's too selfish to put themselves first, but I always say, if you don't come from a full well, you have nothing to give others. So you must put yourself first, not to the extent of cutting other people out permanently, but to the extent that you are a whole human being. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, I think, so many people, for some reason, they feel guilty about making themselves first. Are they people say, oh, you're a narcissist? Or do you ever come across that where people say, you know what, I'm told I'm really supposed to help other people. I'm not, there's this idea of almost a false sense of humility, of humbleness. Do you ever sense that?
They think they're supposed to help others at the expense of themselves, and they don't get that that is not the message. But, we are all in ministries, as far as I'm concerned, if we're there to benefit other people. Whatever ministry we have, we have it. And we also know, or at least I also know, that I have to have a lot of self-care time in order to be beneficial to others. It doesn't, you know, I can't come from an empty well, and I know when my well is empty. Pretty much 95% of the time, I'm pretty clear on if I'm coming from an empty bucket. And when people
so
say,
how
"Oh,
do
I
you,
have to take care,"
what do you do to recharge your bucket, to refill it? I guess refill is the word, not recharge it. Because it's
refill,
a bucket.
Refill, yeah. Well, first of all, I get away from the computer. I get away from the phone. I get really quiet. I need quiet time. I need a lot of quiet time. And I turn off things after an early hour. I don't work in the evenings at all. And that might be as early as 4 or as late as 5. And I know that this sounds kind of early, but I know my limits. I can get a lot done if my bucket is full, I can get a lot done. So I will take time off to read. I will, you know, meditate. Since I can't nap during the day, I can't quite do that, but I can certainly close my eyes for a while and meditate. So to me, what makes me healthy is to be quiet, not to talk, hopefully not to think too much. That happens about 3 o'clock in the morning. But it's the overthinking.
Right.
Yeah, if you've got an active mind.
Right. And do you have a regular, you know, spiritual practice you do in the morning, or do you anything like that, or what's your strategy there?
I always
there?
Check in the morning. First thing in the morning, as I say, thank you for giving me another day to live. And I truthfully believe that. And then I check in with my team, my spiritual team, which I call the powers that be. And I just say, what do you want me to do today? And I trust that so implicitly that I always get the right answers, because I make lots of lists. So if I made a list the night before I go to bed, you know, I might get an answer with do what you have planned, or I think you should do this, go there. And if it's within the realm of possibility, I do. And I've never been disappointed, and I have to trust something. And since I also know that the powers that be are not only a source of energy to me, but part of me, or I am a part of them, that I'm a part of this decision-making process. But I have no problem asking for direction from that team of where do I go next, what do you want me to do. And I always get a hint during the day about something. And it's usually quite focused. And that's the way the day starts. And the way the day ends is with gratitude for all that I was able to accomplish during the day, how many people I've helped. Because as long as I help at least one person, I'm fine. And that could be in any manner, shape, or form. And I express gratitude in writing or in, you know, mindfulness about how my day has been, so that at least I can know that I have accomplished something today. Even
so, what inspires you right now? It sounds like pretty much what you're doing. Is there anything in particular that inspires you?
Well, right now I am on track to get published in Thrive Global, which is Arianna Huffington's new website, and working on getting, since she's talking about well-being and stress reduction, which is what my work is definitely related to, because that's what I'm helping the IT pros do, you know, reduce the stress so there's more time for them to think creatively about themselves and their family and create more of that personal life within their work life. So that has worked with me right now. That's what I'm working on, and it's exciting. You know, I don't care if I fail.
Bounce that way.
There's always some, you know, I just move on. Then what's next?
Right. What gives you hope right now?
Tomorrow. Hope. I always know that something new is going to happen. And I trust that it's the right thing for me. The powers that be have known me a long time before I even knew myself. So I would trust that they would give me the correct information. And when I check in, even I question. I question. I will do it, but I'll say, are you sure?
Right.
You know, being who I am, it's like, are you sure that I should
right.
do that? Or that that's
so you've
gonna
learned,
happen?
Yeah, you've learned to kind of listen to that inner calling and to act on it. Sounds like, and to act on it, not just hear it, but
yes.
to actually act on it.
Yeah, that's where the trust and faith comes in. And that's what I work on. You know, when I say I work with IT pros, I partner with them. So we're a team working together.
Right.
And they,
you know what,
you know,
let me, why don't you tell our listeners how they can get a hold of you. And because we're you know, kind of nearing the end here of our conversation, and I want to make sure that they have your information.
Absolutely. They can go to my website at askjoannevictoria.com. That's askjoannevictoria.com. They can also get a free book on the website. Many pages has the access to it. And it's called The True Life. Why, I'm sorry, I can't remember what it is, but it's on the website. They can find
mm-hmm.
me on Facebook, Twitter, all under Joanne Victoria. LinkedIn, Joanne Victoria. They can send me an email if they have questions about what we talked today at ask@askjoannevictoria.com. And if they're interested more in more work that I'm doing, they can request, they can either send me some questions or request a free consult.
Or they can ask Joanne Victoria.
That's the whole idea. AskJoanneVictoria.com, and there's also a page
yeah.
that says AskJoanneVictoria.com.
There you go. So what pearls of wisdom do you have? I was going to say advice, and I'm thinking, I don't like that word. What pearls of wisdom do you have for our listeners?
Well, I would strongly suggest that they try putting themselves first for a week and see what happens to their lives, even if it makes them uncomfortable, and it probably will.
Mm-hmm.
Put themselves first
mm-hmm.
in every situation, at work and at home. That is probably the best thing that I can say right now. And then to trust themselves even more, that somewhere inside of them they know truly what the what life they want to live and how they want to live it. They do know, but they have to take the time to ask the question. And
right, and sometimes to be courageous to go in a different direction. Sometimes it. You hear that voice, and it really involves a dramatic change in your life of circumstances, and it takes a certain amount of courage. I think we both know that.
Absolutely, and they should trust that inner voice, but they don't have to trust it forever. Everything is a test. They can do this a day at a time, 2 days at a time, or a week at a time. I think a week gives them a good idea of doing something different and how it affects their work and personal lives. Then they'll see that there's a shuffle going on, and then they'll know that they might need a little bit of help from Joanne Victoria. Who knows?
Right. Or they can ask Joanne Victoria.
They can ask Joanne Victoria. That was the idea of naming the woman. Ask me.
Yes.
I'll have an answer.
Yes.
I'll always have an
You'll
answer.
You'll have an answer. Right.
I will.
And sometimes the answer really is to just to ask yourself, what do you,
yes.
what really makes you come alive? What brings you alive? What
yeah.
what ideas
you
bring
want?
You alive? What can you, what excites you? I mean, these are questions. I think questions are so powerful. People really sometimes look for the answer instead of asking the question. And I think asking the question is what brings people together, is that when we're all asking the same question, then we find out that we kind of band together as kindred souls that are on this path of transformation, of possibility. And that's what the Inspire Possibility Show is about. And I want to thank you, Joanne Victoria, for being the guest on the Inspire Possibility Show. It's been a fun conversation, opportunity to kind of get to know you more and what you do and get your essence. So thanks again for being my guests and to my listeners out there, every week, as you know, we have another great guest. And in the meantime, until next time, journey on.
You've been listening to Inspire Possibility Show with Mark Susnow. To learn more about Mark Susnow, go to inspirepossibility.com and click on the contact button. Schedule a complimentary visit with Mark or email him at mark@inspirepossibility.com. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine.